This is Bruce Marable from EmployCycle, the HR analytics dashboard for small and medium companies. Since we already host an HR podcast, we thought the best way we could provide value is to share interviews about how HR and business leaders are trying to reduce stress and anxiety with their employees during this coronavirus public health crisis. Please listen to the following interviews, and we hope that it helps you and your company.
So I'm Heidi Collins, and I'm the VP of People Operations for 15Five.
And what is your company's headcount?
I think we're at about 205 employees as of today, and that includes our U.S.-based W-2 employees and a number of contractors that are scattered all over Europe.
Okay, in your industry?
We would fall under SaaS technology company.
And location, where are you based?
Our headquarters are in San Francisco, California, and we have offices in New York and Raleigh. So New York City and Raleigh, North Carolina. And we, like I said, we have employees that are also working from their home offices all over the U.S. and in 8 different countries.
Got it. So what was your initial response plan and what was working?
I think our senior leadership team took a pretty proactive approach. And I think about 3 weeks ago, we started making the call whether or not we should close our offices and do whatever we could as an employer to mitigate the spread of coronavirus. So I think we were a little bit ahead of the curve there in terms of first shutting down our San Francisco and New York offices. And a big part of that decision was because a lot of our employees commute on public transportation. And so we wanted to reduce their worry and anxiety about potentially, exposing themselves through public transportation and then also by coming into the office. And then about a week and a half later, we then decided to also close our Raleigh, North Carolina office. But as far as a response is concerned, we didn't have to make a huge shift in any of our normal everyday business practices because we have a highly distributed team. I think of the 205 employees, I'm pretty sure about at least 100 of them are remote already. And so we've set things up to accommodate a remote workforce and to be able to collaborate remotely and communicate from wherever on a regular daily basis with the technology that we have in place and a lot of our scheduled meetings and activities. So we already had a 3 times a week all hands meeting that we've been doing for the last, gosh, I don't even know, like since I've been here the last year and a half and well before that, many years before that. So there wasn't too much that we needed to do differently. We were set up. We have all of the technology in place. Everybody is able to easily work from home as opposed to work coming into the office. There isn't really a big difference. And so there wasn't much else to do aside from deciding to close our offices.
Is there anything that did not work in your response plan?
No, I don't. You know what? I can't think of any significant issues or problems because we were already set up to work remotely. Yeah, I don't think there was anything that impacted us negatively there.
What surprised you about your employees during this crisis?
It's not really surprising, but it was very heartwarming to see a lot of our teams connecting organically with each other without needing any kind of support from HR or from the leadership team to encourage them to stay connected. I'll give you an example. Like last week, after we closed our San Francisco office, one of the guys in sales was feeling a little bit lonely. And so he just sent out a meeting invite to like 52 people in the office, inviting them to eat lunch while he, eats. Turn on their computers and get on a Zoom call and eat lunch with him. And about 13 of us all got on a call together and had this hilarious remote lunch party. And it was really like the highlight of most of our day that day. And that was something that wasn't organized by people ops or any leadership team. It just happened at the employee level. We had those kind of things happening all over the place. And so it was really nice to see when people were freaking out and really being driven by fear and anxiety. A lot of our employees were instead deciding to focus on the positive and figure out ways to connect with each other, even if they couldn't connect in person.
And overall, how are most, if not all, of your employees responding?
I would say that, you know, as the news continues to worsen or become more severe on a daily basis, I'm definitely picking up on a higher level of stress. You know, even with my own team, you know, there are definitely times during the day when we connect over remote meetings, over video, and you can tell people are a little bit exhausted from, you know, the news cycle and whatnot. And even at our senior leadership team level, I'm noticing, you know, there's a little bit more worry than say like 2 weeks ago. And that's very natural because the news continues to get a little bit more serious, you know, kind of by the hour. What was the question again? Like,
how are your employees responding?
Yeah, I think they're responding. I think we've created the space for them to share vulnerably about how they're really feeling and how it's impacting them. I would say for the most part, people feel really comfortable to share that they're feeling anxious or they're feeling really worried, or, you know, we have a lot of communication channels outside of just video meetings. People are very active on Slack and sharing ideas with each other. So one of the Slack channels that we have that's quite active right now is we have a parents of 15-5 channel for parents to kind of support and collaborate with each other. And as you know, most schools and daycares in the country, I mean, pretty much everywhere, as far as I'm aware, have closed as of this Monday, yesterday. And so the parents have really been rallying and providing each other with ideas on how they're coping and how they're handling their school stuff for their kids and homeschooling, temporary homeschooling systems and that sort of thing. And one of the things that our people operations team did over the weekend is we put together an accommodations for 15-5 caregivers guide, you know, like a temporary policy or guide. And basically it was just to, in support of all these parents who suddenly are having kids at home and trying to keep up with their meeting schedule and their workload, how would we be able to accommodate them during this period? And so we have a number of things that we're kind of loosening up on, like, you know, it's okay if you're not able to attend the mandatory all hands meetings, or we have a rule typically where we ask everybody to turn on their video when they're meeting remotely over Zoom. And during this time, you know, we have kids going, you know, running around in the background or talking. And so it's fine if you turn your video off. And we've offered employees who are really struggling with their schedule, if they needed to come up with a temporary flexible schedule or a reduced schedule, you know, if they need to work only like 6 hours instead of an 8-hour day for a period of a few weeks, or, you know, they need to split it and work 4 hours in the morning and 4 hours at night after their kids go to bed, or whatever that might look like. We are trying to be as flexible as possible in supporting our parents. And our parents have also organically just been supporting each other through all of this as well.
What's your next step?
Our next step is to continue to assess the situation on a daily basis. Usually our senior leadership team is checking in about twice a day, sharing important updates with each other. And, you know, we're trying to figure out right now as a business, what are some other things that we can do to support our customers and support our community through all of this. And I think one of the things right now that we definitely are able to lend a hand in is just sharing tips, actual policies, anything that is related to remote work, where companies that haven't really got a lot of structure in place or don't really know how to do it, they haven't done it much before, however we can support companies and our community out there to set things up, we're trying to share that information as quickly as possible.
And any one tip that you can provide your fellow HR and people leaders out there who are struggling trying to help their employees get through this?
Yeah. You know, to me, one of the most powerful things through all of this has been to stick to a disciplined meditation practice. It's actually something that even before this crisis, we offer all of our employees the meditation.live app. And when you're starting to feel really anxious, I think even just taking 5 minutes and refocusing your energy and taking a moment to breathe and to relax and remember and remind yourself that you're not in this alone, that the whole world right now is experiencing this with you, and that we're all connected, and that our connection and support is what's going to get us through it. And I really think that meditation is one of the ways that we can come back to this, like we can be reminded of that reality and that fact that we're all here to support each other. So that's my tip.
On behalf of all the HR and people leaders out there, thank you so much for sharing this insight and your experience. And we hope that you, your family, and all your employees are okay during this public health crisis. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Bruce.
If this interview helped you, please send to all the HR and business leaders in your network, since we're all looking for some reassurance, some guidance, and a sense of community. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing to the Employee Cycle podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcast episodes. Or you could also check in at employeecycle.com/podcast to get more interviews like this. Please stay safe and stay healthy. Talk to you soon.